This is Denise with Recovery Radio, and today in the studio I have Jessica with me, and she is a drug court graduate of the Latol Drug Court here in Moscow. And I am going to read about what drug court is so that all of you listeners can understand what we're all talking about today. So the Latol Drug Court is a court-supervised collaborative effort of legal, medical, educational, correctional, and social services professionals who supervise and support adult offenders as they actively and totally abstain from drugs and alcohol and criminal behavior. The focus of the drug court is breaking the cycle of addiction and criminal activity while simultaneously providing safety in our community. They believe that addiction is a disease process that can be successfully treated through long-term court-enforced individual program that reflects a total lifestyle change for the offender. Responsibility for success in the program and success completion of the program belongs to the offender. If you join the Latol County Drug Court, you will be expected to do the following things. Follow the instructions of Judge Stegner and the probation officer, as well as comply with the treatment plan agreed upon that you and your counselors have decided. You are encouraged to share this with your family. Program description. The drug court is a program opportunity to participate in alcohol and drug treatment while under close supervision by the court system. It is designed for adults with significant substance abuse problem coupled with criminal charges related to the substance abuse. Instead of going to jail or prison, the defendants are given a chance to stay in their community while getting help following their treatment plans. The program combines close judicial supervision, probation, case management, intensive drug treatment, regular drug testing, and graduates' response to provide highly structured environment for appropriate defendants. So that basically sums up the program. And Jessica is a graduate of that program. And if you didn't catch that, it's a very structured and intense program. It certainly is. And so, Jessica, thank you for being here today.
You bet.
And Jessica graduated from the program March of 2014. So you have been in recovery for a while, and you graduated a while ago.
Yep.
So Jessica, tell us a little bit about what's going on in your life, like right now, like work or just those kinds of things.
I live down in the LC Valley. I moved away from Moscow a couple years ago. I work as a route sales representative, so I'm a vendor, and I do delivery for a big corporation. I'm really lucky to have the job I have because once I completed the drug court program, my felony charges were dropped, and I certainly wouldn't have the opportunity to work in a place like that if I hadn't gone through the program. I don't know how much to say about other than work, because that seems like all I do right now.
And so even just in that, the fact that you're able to have the job that you have now because of the program is totally a benefit for you. I mean, you wouldn't have that opportunity, it sounds like you're saying.
No. And another thing that drug court offered me besides dropping the charges is they really held me accountable when I didn't want to be. There's a lot of sanctions in drug court if you don't follow the rules. And I think I broke just about every rule that drug court had and faced just about every sanction. And one of the most important ones is they make you stay gainfully employed. So, I went to jail once for not showing up to work. I mean, those are the kind of things that you have to face if you don't follow the rules.
So I'm wondering if you can tell our audience what things looked like in the beginning of you being a participant in drug court. Like, what was going on?
So I was one of the offenders whose crimes were closely related to my drug abuse. My charge was grand theft, and had I not been addicted to drugs, I would not have stolen the money because it was funding my drug use. Mm-hmm. So that's how I found myself in the program.
So other than getting in trouble legally, like, how was life for you? I mean, was your use affecting day-to-day life?
Oh, yeah. Everything was chaos. There, you know, I was married at the time. My My husband actually was my co-defendant in my charge, with my charges, and our lives were just complete chaos. There was a lot of violence in our marriage, and my son wasn't living at home with me at the time. He was a teenager. One of the worst days I had was when I came home and my house was being raided, and there was my poor 13-year-old who'd been woken up out of bed sitting on the couch in handcuffs and had nothing to do with anything that I was doing, but he was suffering right along with me. I didn't have a job. I had tried to go into inpatient treatment, and I wasn't successful. I was just kind of floating along.
So the inpatient treatment, how long did you go in for?
Yeah, that summer was kind of crazy because I knew that I was being investigated, and I knew that charges were coming. So I was in treatment, and I left early. So I think I was only there like a week and a half. And there's a blackout period where they don't let you call home. And there's pretty good reason behind that, because the first chance I got to call home is when I decided I was leaving in the middle of the night, left treatment. Mm-hmm. Got home, got way, you know, I'd had maybe those 10 days clean, went right back to it, ended up taking another couple weeks to get into another inpatient program, went to that one. Did the same thing, mm-hmm. Was in there a week and just absconded, and I just couldn't get it done. Finally, the charges came down. I got my summons and I got my interview with the drug court coordinator and got admitted into drug court, and things started to stabilize for me. I was in inpatient treatment or outpatient treatment. We were required to attend, what, 3 groups a week?
Yeah, so there would be like your small groups process,
your
CSC,
process group, your
MRT.
Yeah, and then moral recognition therapy, that's mm-hmm. what MRT is. Mm-hmm. And then CSC, cognitive self-change, is another program. And then your individual counseling at least once a week for an hour. And you're also required to attend initially 90 self-help groups in 90 days. So those can be AA, NA. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of other ones out there, but those were readily available. So mm-hmm. a lot of us used that. You had a card you had to get signed, and once a week you go to the, every other week, I think
it
was.
Depends on what phase you're in.
Yeah.
So there's
initially you have to go and sit before the judge, and mm-hmm. you have to turn in your card to prove that you're doing your groups. You have to turn in your time cards or your paycheck stubs mm-hmm. to prove that you're gainfully employed. And it's pretty heavy supervision on that stuff. They kind of tie up all your time. You work, you go to group, you get a few hours at home. You're on probation, so you have a curfew.
So
not a lot of free time.
So in your opinion, the not a lot of free time, is there a benefit to that for staying sober or for, you know, for making that change?
Yeah. I mean, when we're really in our active addiction, our entire lives are consumed by getting drugs and finding ways to get them. So you have all this free time when you're not using drugs anymore. So to just say, okay, go sit at home and don't do drugs isn't going to work.
So they have you working,
yeah,
almost full time and going to groups and stuff like that to help make those changes.
Yeah.
When you had talked before about going to those treatment centers in inpatient, what do you think is the difference for you? Because, I mean, we know now that you succeeded at drug court and you graduated. So what do you think is the difference between when you went to the one that you went in yourself and you had the option, you're seeing the option to leave the blackout? Is there anything that comes to mind as for you?
I mean, it's really hard to talk about this too much because my experience is so unique. Mm. It's not what everyone else goes through. This is just what I went through. And I know that I heard a story when one of the first drug courts I went to, it was a girl was graduating and her husband or boyfriend, he was in prison for the same crime or whatever, and he had written her this letter about what drug court meant, and because she was graduating and he was super proud of her and they had a baby together, and he was down in the penitentiary, and that was, I remember Kathy Weeks, that's our counselor for drug court, reading this letter, and by the end of it I was just bawling. But he was talking about how rehabs and treatment centers, like, they, like, you're locked in a cage with your demon, which is your addiction, and treatment centers, and they open the door and they give you a way out, but drug court locks you in there with it until you beat it and then you can be free. So yeah, that made a lot of sense to me, especially after I got through it, because the things that they forced me to do were, I've been in and out of treatment since I was 13 years old. I'm almost 42 now, so that's a long haul. Probably a dozen different treatment centers over that span of time, and this one is the one that stuck finally. That accountability was a big problem for me, because I'd get a little clean time and then I didn't want to do the work anymore. Well, drug court made me do the work, and I found that I hadn't got quite as far as I thought I had every time I got a little clean time under my belt, because unfortunately I relapsed quite a bit in drug court, and that's why it took me so long to get through the program. I was very honest about that. I never really got caught. I turned myself in. I didn't, mm-hmm. I didn't ever do it beforehand to prevent
and
it.
And that's totally, but, yeah, totally encouraged honesty. Yeah.
But that made a big difference for why I was allowed to stay in the program. I'm sure had I tried to hide it and all of that on top of using, it wouldn't have gotten me anywhere.
Were there times when you relapsed and then you recognized a problem that you were able to look at?
Every time I relapsed, it was and then the forced sobriety, you know, mm-hmm. it was an opportunity to see what led to that, and I really looked at it. It was a miserable time of life. To those first 9 months of being clean, I can't imagine or think of a more miserable time in my life. I had to feel every feeling. I had to, every regret, every little bit of shame that I felt, especially about my crime. I had to face some really awful truths about myself, and nobody wants to do that, even if they're not in recovery. Mm-hmm. But when your coping mechanism your whole life is to just avoid it by using, you're in for a rough ride. Mm-hmm. So, I had some rough times, and fortunately I got through it, and I had a lot of support. That's the great thing about drug court. How many people, we were trying to count up all the people that are looking over you in drug court, mm-hmm. the judge, and yes, even the jailers that mm-hmm. when you get your punishments, they know what you're doing. There's so many people that are holding you accountable, and that's a gift.
It is. There's so many people that are part of the team and that care.
Yeah, a job that I had before the one I have now, I used to see quite a bit more people from the courthouse, like even the clerks and the judge's secretary and stuff, and they're just, everybody will tell me how proud they are of me still, and it just is an amazing feeling to know that they are all paying attention and saw that change. So
that is amazing.
Yeah.
That people, care enough to actually, make sure that they communicate with you about how you're doing and that they care about you. That's awesome. Well, we're going to take a break and listen to a song, and we'll be right back. You're listening to Recovery Radio on KRFP, Moscow Pullman.
'Twas in another lifetime, one of toil and blood, when blackness was a virtue, the road was full of mud. I came in from the wilderness, a creature void of form. Come in, she said, I'll give you shelter from the storm. And if I pass this way again, you can rest assured I'll always do my best for her, on that I give my word. In a world of steel eyed death and men who are fighting to be warm, come in, she said, I'll give you shelter from the storm. Not a word was spoke between us. There was a little risk involved. Everything up to that point had been left unresolved. Try imagining a place where it's always safe and warm. Come in, she said, I'll give you shelter from the storm. I was burned out from exhaustion, buried in the hail. Poisoned in the bushes and blown out on the trail. Hunted like a crocodile, ravaged in the corn. Come in, she said, I'll give you shelter from the storm. Suddenly I turned around and she was standing there, with silver bracelets on her wrists and flowers in her hair. She walked up to me so gracefully and took my crown of thorns. Come in, she said, I'll give you shelter from the storm. Now there's a wall between us, something that's been lost. I took too much for granted, I got my signals crossed. Just pretend till it all began on a non-eventful morn. Come in, she said, I'll give you shelter from the storm. The deputy walks on hard nails and the preacher rides a mount. But nothing really matters much, it's doom alone that counts. And the one-eyed undertaker, he blows a feudal horn. Come in, she said, I'll give you shelter from the storm. I've heard newborn babies wailing like a moaning dove. And old men with broken teeth, stranded without love. Do I understand your question, man? Is it hopeless and forlorn? Come in, she said, I'll give you shelter from the storm. In a little hilltop village, they gambled for my clothes. I bargained for salvation and she gave me a lethal dose. I offered up my innocence, I got repaid with scorn. Come in, she said, I'll give you a shelter from the storm. Well, I'm living in a foreign country, but I'm bound to cross the line. Beauty walks a razor's edge, someday I'll make it mine. If I could only turn back the clock to when God and her were born. Come in, she said, I'll give ya shelter from the storm.
That was Shelter from the Storm by Bob Dylan. And this is Denise with Recovery Radio. And today in the studio, I have Jessica with us, and she's a graduate of the Latah County Drug Court. And we were just talking about just some experiences of hers during the program and about how the community, people in the community that, you know, know her and knew that she was in the program were very supportive of her progress. And just one of the things that we get asked a lot about is like the drug testing. And so I was hoping maybe you could just give us a little snippet on how all that works.
So you're assigned a number. I think it's different now because I visit the center sometimes and I saw something about colors. So you're assigned your number and you call the drug court line. This is how it worked for me at the time. And if your number came up, you were to go in at a certain time and give your UA. And you had to do that in front of somebody. It was supervised and You kind of you learn real quick to have no shame.
Yeah, so. Females with females, males with males, but yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, I wasn't in a big room with an audience or anything, mm-hmm. fortunately.
Yeah. But still. Yeah. So this program, the drug court program, is if you get yourself into some legal problems, you know, you break the law and you have a drug abuse problem, then you can possibly become a participant in this program. And the idea is to directly deal with the addiction instead of, you know,
punishment.
Yeah. Punishment, putting you in jail or prison and not getting to the core issue. And then when people come back out of jail or prison, they just go right back to using because it wasn't ever dealt with. And so what are your thoughts on the benefits of this program for people, you know, in your situation?
So I did a little research on this before I came here because I can only speak to my specific mm-hmm. situation. But sure. Overall, they see a lot of reduced recidivism. So it's almost cut in half by the treatment with drug court. The length of time that people go before, if they do recidivate or whatever that is.
That word.
there's a lot longer time before that happens mm-hmm. too. So. I was talking to the drug court coordinator trying to get some statistics before I came on, and one of the statistics I asked her about was how many people overall have participated in specifically Latah County drug court versus how many have graduated. And it's mm-hmm. she's like, oh, that's not the best statistic to throw out there, because what did she say? It was 220 people have participated and only 96 have graduated. And I said, that's actually, well, that's not a bad statistic, because it shows you how hard the program is. It's not everybody who gets in just graduates. You're helping a lot of people who otherwise wouldn't. 100% of those people have had treatment where they wouldn't have if they just went straight to prison. Mm-hmm. So,
yeah. And I think it's fair to say that if you're, you know, in the drug court program and you wind up going on a rider or something like that, which is basically prison with some
period of retained jurisdiction. So yeah. You come back and see the judge and you're still mm-hmm. on probation. And
right. And so even if you go from drug court to one of those programs, you still have all that you learned while you're in drug court to help you succeed. I mean, wouldn't you say that in your program that are there still things today that you use in your daily life that you learned?
Actually, yeah. I'm going back to counseling right now. Mm-hmm. I mean, I have times where I recognize that things are starting to go downhill and I don't want to be forced back into the program. I want to go that far. Mm-hmm. I've seen lots of my friends do that. They go all the way back out there before they're going to get help again. And why not just ask for it? I started seeing Kathy Weeks again recently and things have really turned around. You know, the longer I was sober, the more I was able to realize that there are things that I'm dealing with that maybe they were the core reason I started using in the first place, like my anxiety. And I have ADHD and those things need treated, but when you're in active addiction, you aren't going to be able to recognize them because you're hiding it with your substance abuse. So that's one of the things I use. The other thing is I show up to everything I'm supposed to, because
are you on time?
I am on time.
And why, Jessica, why are you on time? What did you learn about being on time?
Yeah, or don't leave early. That was another thing mm-hmm. I did jail time for. So I walked out of a treatment meeting early. And yeah, I did jail time for showing up late or not showing mm-hmm. up to a meeting for...
There's a lot of a structured side to the drug court program with your participation and being on time and things like that. And those are things that aren't important in addiction.
That's the thing. Well, when you're in active addiction, yeah. you can get away with things for a while and mm-hmm. you don't really face the consequences right off the bat of maybe you stole or ripped somebody off or you didn't pay the rent and you spent it's a little bit of time before you're caught and you have to face those consequences. Mm-hmm. And in drug court's immediate. It's swift, and it kind of gives you a better sense of how the rest of the world is dealing mm-hmm. with things when they don't follow the rules of society.
And that almost sounds like it would help reduce anxiety to deal with things instead of letting them like compile up, you know, to then become a problem.
Sure.
So, no, you're like, eh, I don't know, Denise.
I don't know. I don't know what helps.
So lifestyle changes, if there was just a couple of things from when you started the program to when you finished, what that was mentioned, lifestyle changes were mentioned in the summary that I was reading about drug court in the beginning, as far as some of the things that they work on. What did that mean to you?
Well, for me, a lot of things that I'd learned after a lifetime of drug abuse was that I saw everything externally, that any time I wanted to have fun or feel good or anything, it was based on outside of myself. I never gave myself a chance. Like, I could never self-soothe mm-hmm. if I was upset. I had to take a drink or use a drug, or I depended on someone else for that, or even food. It would go that far, mm-hmm. you know? So I had to find ways to entertain myself, to make myself feel better, to participate in life. And I guess everything I did when I was using was just revolved around getting high. So the people that I made friends with, the activities that I got involved with, there's things that like, oh, I'd hate to do that now because I'm not high, but everybody that was getting high was doing it. So I would go do that, you know. Now I don't know. I love to fish, and we're pretty outdoorsy. I do a lot of camping and stuff like that, and I'm able to do it without having to be high to do it. That's a Those pretty are, yeah. specific to me mm-hmm. lifestyle Absolutely. Change, but mm-hmm. I don't know.
So yeah, I mean, overall lifestyle changes that are super healthy. So what kinds of benefits do you have because you're a drug court graduate? I mean, you had talked about being able to go back in and see Kathy Weeks. So can you go back in for counseling? And
yeah, I mean, the doors are open at Weeks in Future. Everybody knows that's ever been there. They're always open for people that have been in a program, whether in drug court or not, honestly. I don't know about benefits of having been in drug court. I didn't get a little punch card I can take around to businesses or anything, but that's not a bad idea.
I was just thinking that counseling, the ability to go back and have counseling.
Sure. Yeah. I mean, awesome. I have insurance now and I can pay for it. That's, you know, that's a nice Excellent. Thing. And the big send for me was not having that felony on my record, because I mean, so many doors close. Mm-hmm. I knew that there are a lot of people in drug court at the time I was that had their felony already, and they were still trying to do this. And then there were the people that were like me that were going to have it wiped off if they completed the program. So
how does that work for our listeners that may not know how that works?
Well, when you complete the program, your charges are dismissed, so you wouldn't have that felony on your record. If you were convicted of it, mm-hmm. you get the felony on your record. There are places you can't live. There are jobs you can't have. I mean, there's so many things that you aren't trusted to do because of just that felony. It can be a life ruiner for some people. Mm-hmm. But there are people that had to go through drug court anyway and still have that, and they're finding their way as well. So it's mm-hmm. it's not the end of the world, but for me and in what I'm doing right now, I would never have the job I have now. Right after I got out of drug court, I actually got a job working for a place, and I had to, as I was moving up through the ranks, I was required to have my pharmacy license, which was a little scary, but it was not like I went into the job like, I graduated drug court, now I'm going to get my pharmacy license. This is great. It didn't work that way, but it just, life happened. I got into management. It was required as part of management. And I didn't have the felony on my record. I didn't have that where when I filled out my application, but the application asked me if I was a recovering addict, mm-hmm. and I answered mm-hmm. it honestly, mm-hmm. and they said no. And that was horrible. It took a big hit on that one because I worked so hard. I had so many years mm-hmm. under my belt of sobriety, and I was doing so good, and this was super unfair. But I went to the board of pharmacy with recommendations from Shauna, the drug court mm-hmm. coordinator, from the pharmacist that I work with, because I was very honest with people. about it. I was up front with everyone. That's the last thing I wanted, is to be in a situation and then somebody find that out about me. You know, that looks shady to me. Not everybody has to live their lives like that. Mm-hmm. Some people really want to finish this program, a drug court, put it behind and move on and not look back. And that's okay too. So, but for me, it kind of was a situation where honesty didn't work out the best for me, but eventually it did. That job ended up leading to an even better job that I have today that I absolutely love. And I just, you know, there were times where I got defeated and was ready to give up, but opportunity happens.
Definitely. It sounds to me like you, just with what you were explaining about, you know, pursuing trying to be able to have that job with the pharmacy thing. And I mean, is that something that you, was that already a part of who you were, the ability to just keep going for what you want, what you know is right, what you can do? Or is that something that you learned in recovery?
I wasn't always like a totally motivated person. Mm-hmm. I'd say, you know, I
just see it as a strength.
I wasn't really good at achieving my goals. I'd get so far and then I kind of peter out, because mm-hmm. I was happy and, you know, being high and just kind of functioning in that atmosphere. Once you get too far ahead, your expectations of you are pretty high, and I didn't want that. I kind of wanted to function how I was, so I'm sure that drug court influenced that.
So do you have a story or two that are just like, I don't know, personally something important to you, or just, I don't know, just about your time while you were in the program that you'd like to share? I'll put you on the spot. Yeah, I'm sorry. That was super, super on the spot. I can just keep rambling and give you
a minute. That'd be better while I think, because it was a very long time, unfortunately. I can tell you about the time where I was pretty sure I was going to prison, because it was mm-hmm. the last time I used. And Judge Segner gives something called a 1 foot over the fence speech. And as you're smiling and laughing and nodding your head here, because you've seen it.
Yes.
And every time you've seen it, people go away the next drug court. There aren't survivors of that. Apparently there are now.
I think if you get the
time.
Yeah, if you get the, it's like, it seems like there's a little slight variation of that, because I've seen people survive it, you know, but I can't remember if there was a talk before that talk. You know?
Well, at the time in my participation, we hadn't seen anyone survive that speech. And I had relapsed a lot at that point. I had got a few months under my belt, and I had a sanction where they wouldn't even let me go visit my family, and they finally did. And I relapsed when I was up there. So I came to court, and I got the 1 foot over the speech fence from the judge. And at the time, I was going to school at U of I, and I was in my last semester of my senior year, and they made me drop out of school. And I was absolutely devastated, and I don't think that I'd said more than two words in court the whole time I had been in there until that day. And I begged him not to make me drop out of school, because I was so close. And it was nope, and you're going to go to downstairs. Where's the jail? The jail is downstairs. And that was it. That was, the fear was really in me at that point. And that was August 24th, 2012. That was the last time I used. So that's not a happy story, but
yeah, I was gonna say, that sounds like a really hard lesson, and at least a pretty good example of just the kind of decisions that the team can make.
So, I wanted to talk about going to jail, because it's one of the sanctions that you face. And I mean, I was terrified to go to prison, but I had good friends that had been to prison and back, and they're just like, it was nothing to them. I had one friend, she would say, I could do that time on my eyelashes or something. I would just laugh, but it terrified me, because not only did it mean losing my son, I you know, my family wouldn't, it's so far away, I wouldn't see my family and all that lost time, but and then having to recover from that, like absolutely nothing. You come out with nothing. And I couldn't understand people who are willing to make that choice, like screw this drug court program, I'm just going to go do my time. And I just couldn't understand that. But here I was, I kept making the same stupid choices. You know, I wasn't consciously saying I'm going to go to prison, but I kept doing that. So it kind of slapped me out of it. But time and just the county time, that's one of the big sanctions that they use. There's also like community service, and they extend whether or not you'll progress to the next level, things like that. Those are other sanctions. But the jail one was the hardest for me. I also thought it was really hard on other people in a different way. For me, I couldn't stand everything about
it. For you, what is it? Because I mean, I know everybody has their own.
Yeah, I hadn't had a lot of crimes before that. Mm-hmm. This was my first mm-hmm. time really, since I was a teenager, being in any kind of criminal justice situation. And I, you know, you have to wear used underwear, and you have to wear the uniform, and you have to eat the food, and you're in there with a bunch of other people that you don't know who you're going to be in there with. Yeah,
and for me, how big would you say that the women's area is? It's like, what, 20 by 20 maybe?
It's not big enough. It doesn't matter.
It's so tiny.
One of the worst problems about being in there, I felt like I regressed so much, because being in jail is probably the most powerless situation, or one of the most powerless situations you can find yourself in. And everybody in there is just trying to pump themselves up to try to make themselves feel better about being in there. So the talk in the cells all day long, day in, day out, is about what an awesome thug they were on the street and how much of this drug they used and if they know this person. And, you know, I find myself getting caught up in those conversations, and it was not at all where I was trying to go. It was not good.
I would say that I've definitely heard more than one person talk about that. And I think that is also just another reason why drug court is such a good program, because instead of being off in jail, off in prison, you know, just doing your
time. You're not growing at all, right, as a human being in that situation.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So we're going to take a break, and you're listening to KRFP in Moscow Pullman. And this is Denise with Recovery Radio.
It's the same old thing as yesterday.
That was King of Pain, The Police. This is Denise with Recovery Radio, and you're listening to KRFP in Moscow Pullman, and I'm in the studio with Jessica today, and she is a drug court graduate. And Jessica, what else did you want to share here in the last 5 minutes or so that we have left?
Actually, this brochure just caught my eye that you have the Laetah Recovery Center. So I was thinking, you know, I had all of the support that I had in the drug court. My family was very behind my recovery. My boyfriend now, he was behind me every step of the way. I had some really great support, but also got some support in the community. Some of it was forced on me through the having requirement to have the self-help groups, which at a point for me got used as a sanction because I kept relapsing, and that 90 meetings in 90 days turned into 120 and then, you know, 180. And then it was almost a full year.
Every day.
Yeah. Cause my level one, participation lasted more than a year. I think that's still the record Shauna was telling me. So fortunately for the people in there now, they're advancing at a much faster rate, but it started to get pretty frustrating, and I didn't want to use those resources. It felt like a punishment. So hopefully they've balanced that out a little better for people, because it isn't helpful to force people to do those things. But when I kind of surrendered after that speech, I did everything the way they said. I just said, okay, I'll do it, even though I think this is stupid and I don't want to be here. And I'm looking at a room of people. I hate every one of you. And the next person that talks, I want to punch in the throat. But I'm going to do it because they said that this will work. So I'm going to do it. And I did it. And then it started to work. So that was on me. You know, I had a bad attitude, but it eventually changed. And there's some amazing groups out there. So I know that some absolutely would not work for me, but I found one that really did, and it was actually a women's support group, and it was the perfect environment. And I mean, that was outside a drug court. That, I mean, I could have done that all on my own without having to go, you know, through getting a felony and all of this. And people have, so you don't have to go this far in life. You don't have to, but if you do, it's nice to know that the drug court program's there. And if you don't, and you don't want to get that far, it's nice to know that there's so much out there in the community for people now.
There is. And I've got a couple things that I'm going to read here. So the Laetah Recovery Center is located downtown. It's where the old Wheatberries used to be. It's 531 South Main, Suite B. And their phone number is 208-883-1045. They have just a plethora of different kinds of resources. They can help you in so many different areas that you wouldn't even think of. They have even a life skills class that I heard last year. They help people do their taxes. They have computers there that you can use. They have peer coaching, just all sorts of things. They have a resource wall that's just humongous that has...
I saw something that they help people with resumes, stuff like that. I mean,
exactly. Just like life things.
All of the things that are important to get your feet back under you.
Absolutely. So like a really, really great resource. Weeks in Vitry is located 818 South Washington Street here in Moscow. And their number is 208-882-8514. And so Weeks in Vitry is the outpatient treatment center that the drug court goes through. But you can also be just a self-admitting patient. I mean, you can just go in and say, hey, I'd like to see, you know, get some treatment and attend some small groups or get some counseling so that I can stay in recovery, or, you know, whatever your goal is, they can help you with that. Let's see, we have one other one here. Sequel Alliance Family Services is located on Rodeo Drive, 212 Rodeo Drive, number 410, and their number is 208-882-5960. Also, they have Sequel Alliance in Coeur d'Alene, two in Coeur d'Alene, Sandpoint, Bonners Ferry, Priest River, Kellogg, Lewiston, Orofino, and St. Mary's. So whatever town you're in, if you're listening to this and you're not in Moscow or Pullman, there are other resources. And then one other thing, so there are classes and they're called Her Journey, and this is for victim recovery. This has to do with domestic abuse. It says domestic abuse is the most single most common source of injury to women, more than auto accidents, muggings, and rape by a stranger combined. All forms of abuse inflict emotional pain. Abuse kills body, soul, and spirit. So they have 15 classes that you can attend, and their local number is 509-484-0600, and their national number is 503-846-9284. Thank you so much for being here with us today, Jessica.
Thanks, no problem.
Really appreciate you sharing your experiences and telling us about your drug court program and what's going on in life. Thank you.
You bet, Denise. No problem.
Thanks.